one moment, Jesus is in the water, hearing the voice of God, declaring him beloved, and sharing the pride and joy God had found in him as the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And the next moment, that same Spirit is leading Jesus away into the wilderness so that he might be tempted. What a shock to the system. From blessing to fasting for 40 days and nights to temptation and testing. There's been a lot written about the ways in which the devil tempted Jesus and how each of those same temptations come to us, although perhaps in slightly less dramatic ways. We all live with temptation, don't we? And what tempts each of us is probably different from one person to the next. So today, I'd like to focus, instead of on those temptations, on the way that Jesus responded to the devil's tempting. Because each time the devil tempted Jesus, he responded with scripture. Particularly, he responded with passages from Deuteronomy. And there's a lesson there for us. When trials come, when temptations come, we need to be able to follow Jesus' example of responding with God's word. But that can't happen unless we, like Jesus, have immersed ourselves in scripture. The first step in doing this is to read it, to memorize it, to, as Deuteronomy 6 says, talk about these words when you're sitting around your house and when you're out and about, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. In other words, we need to become so familiar with the Bible that it is an everyday part of our lives. The Bible has fascinated and often frustrated me for most of my life. If you visit my office, you will see on a shelf right behind my desk, a full shelf of Bibles, right where I can reach them easily. And it includes one of my first Bibles, the first one I read for myself, this one, the Children's Living Bible. From a time when I thought of the Bible as a storybook, full of the wonder of boats full of animals, walls falling down at the sound of trumpets, and little boys' lunches being shared among thousands of people. It shaped my earliest years with a sense of God's love and power. And as I grew older, I moved to this Bible, the NIV Study Bible. If you flip through these pages, you will see highlights and notes written in my rounded teenage script, maybe with a little heart over the eye, because it's just how I was. In these years, when I was present for every youth event at my church, and I served as chaplain at my high school, the Bible seemed to me to be a guidebook, a handbook for my life. My friends and I picked life verses. Mine was 1 Thessalonians 5:16, if you're wondering. And we scanned through the Bible, looking for relevant advice for a teenager of the 1980s. We memorized verses, and we got our ACT Teens merit badges. Some of you grew up in Baptist churches, didn't you? Do you remember GAs and RAs and ACT Teens? I was a Queen Regent in service. I memorized those Bible verses, y'all. That same Bible served as an answer book as I reached college and realized there were a lot of questions out there about the Bible, about God, that I had never thought to ask. It's what happens when you go from a tiny little town where almost everyone is Baptist, certainly everyone is at least nominally Christian, to a school like UVA. I turned to the Bible to look for answers and certainty, something that I finally realized wasn't really possible, because faith doesn't require proof. If you can prove it, there's no faith involved. And then later, as I took some classes at UVA, and then later in seminary, Big Red, otherwise known as the New Oxford Annotated Bible, including Apocrypha, became my preferred test. I learned about historical critical readings of Scripture, about literary genres and other academic ways of looking at the Bible. From storybook to guidebook to apologetics manual to academic study, that is a lot to expect from one book. And yet the Bible has been that and more for me. In some ways, I've returned to my childhood wonder, fascinated by the stories of Scripture and what they teach me about God and about God's people, while being shaped and informed by other stages of my life to understand that the Bible is truth, even if it's not all fact in the way that we think of historical and scientific fact today. That wasn't something that was known when the Bible was written. And there are times even now when I'm struggling with something that a verse I memorized decades ago will pop into my mind and be exactly what I need in that moment. But here's the thing. It's not enough to simply read or even memorize Scripture, because as we can see in our text today, even the devil can do that. Scripture has been twisted and used in evil ways throughout its history to justify slavery and racism and misogyny, to condemn and to judge. If we are to read and live out Scripture faithfully, it requires that we do so with humility, acknowledging that sometimes we just don't understand or can't know. And we must read it in community so that our own experiences and biases don't somehow pervert its meaning. And most of all, we must follow Jesus' example and be led by the Spirit in our reading and understanding. You know, most of us today have easy access to Scripture. We have Bibles in our home or even on our phones. And yet, how much time do we spend really letting the Spirit speak to us through those words? Even for those of us who manage to read it on a regular basis, something that many of us neglect, we often do it by rote, making sure that we can check off daily Bible reading rather than quieting our hearts and minds and asking the Spirit to speak. We proclaim that God is the source of every blessing. We say that God's breath is life and God's word is nourishment. And yet so often we try to live by bread alone while our Bibles gather dust on a shelf. We confine God's voice to pages that can be shut and forgotten. We come to God's word seeking light for our own paths instead of God's path. We use God's word to justify our own desires, to comfort ourselves while shutting others out, to tear down hearts in order to build up our egos. But the Spirit wants us to hear God through old stories and surprising voices, word written and word lived, and to live by every word that God speaks. So how can we better hear God through Scripture? We're all wired a little differently, and so that answer may be different for each of us, but I do have some suggestions today that might work for you. For all of us, the first thing we must do is prepare our hearts and minds before we read. And this can happen in a lot of ways. Perhaps you can set aside a space in your home and retreat there. And that can be really simple. In my house, it just means I sit in the same chair for my Scripture devotional reading. It's the same place each time. I light a candle to mark that time as sacred. Or you can find other ways to mark the time. Ring a bell. If your mind doesn't quiet when you sit, which is true for a lot of us, maybe you could go for a walk, allowing your heart to still as your body moves. Or you might want to have a notebook that you can jot down all the distracting thoughts you're having so you can let them go for a few minutes. I also like to begin with breath prayer. We practice that here in worship sometimes. Breathing deeply in and out, quieting my soul, and praying as I breathe in, Holy Spirit, and as I breathe out, speak to me until I feel ready to listen. Perhaps some of those things would work for you. And once you have prepared, you choose your scripture passage. You can do this in many ways. There are lots of Bible reading plans available, and we also print daily scripture readings in our bulletin right there that you could use. And they're on our social media each week, too. You may find it easier to read using a devotion book. And if that's true, I'd be happy to help you find one that works for you. There are some that are tuned to almost any interest you can imagine. Don't rush through your reading, whatever it is you decide to read. Take time to read the Bible passage more than once, paying attention to words or phrases that stick out to you. If you prefer listening to reading, you can do that too. There are a lot of apps on your phone that will read scripture to you. You can even do that while walking or being outside if God speaks to you more clearly in nature. One of the things that I often do, because I am a very visual and tactile learner, is to write down the scripture I'm reading, not the actual words, not just the reference, like to copy the words of scripture in a notebook, because I find that that helps me to really pay attention to the words. And then I'll often kind of doodle around them, circling or underlining or making a quick note of things that stick out. If you're creative, there are coloring and journaling Bibles that may allow the Spirit to speak to you. It may be helpful to read the same passage several days in a row. This is a great way to memorize scripture too. Write it down. Make up some motions like we did today. Say it aloud. Read it in different translations. Scripture is so multifaceted that you can return to the same thing over and over again, and then on like the 10th or 11th time, you see things differently or read things differently. It may help you in memorizing scripture to listen to the scripture in music. I memorized Psalm 119, 105 early in my youth years because I loved Amy Grant, and that's the main part of her song, Thy Word. So in my mind, it's always in the King James Version because that's how it is when she sings it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I can't say the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians. I have to sing it most of the time because I memorized it in a song. The choir can probably tell you about scripture songs they have sung that have stuck with them. You know, as a congregation, how important Micah 6:8 is to me. It's tattooed on my foot. It is a verse that I try to live by, and I first heard it because I sang it with a choir. So music can be a powerful way for you to memorize scripture as well, and I'll be happy to help you find some scripture songs if that is something that works for you. However it is, immerse yourself in those words, read them, listen to them again and again. And after you read or listen, spend some more time in silence or talking with God, sharing what you've heard and asking for guidance if there's something the Spirit is moving you to do in response. The reality is, we may not feel the nudge of the Spirit each time we read, but if we immerse ourselves in God's Word, we will be prepared to be led when the moment comes. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we must spend time with the Bible, which points us to the truth of who God is and who we are called to be as beloved children of God. I love to read fiction, especially fantasy and mystery. Somebody recently described nonfiction as learning through information and fiction as learning through imagination. And I love that description. And in this recent series I've been reading, there's a powerful mage. And in one of the stories, people around her are seeking out a book of magic. They want to use it for evil purposes, to harm others and benefit themselves. And ultimately, she realizes that the only way to protect the book is for her to absorb it into herself. I told you it was fantasy. The power of the book resides in her now, making her even more powerful. But she has to be very vigilant and using her power for good, however tempting it might be to use it to benefit only herself. Now, I'm not suggesting that you actually swallow your Bibles. But when we are led by the Spirit, immersing ourselves in Scripture, absorbing the Word into our lives, we are empowered to resist temptation, to be the people God has called us to be, to live lives of love for God and our neighbors, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. When we truly connect with Scripture, when we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through the Word of God, when we write God's Word on our heart, it changes us. My prayer is that we may become, in a true sense, people of the book, people who are being remade and remolded by the Spirit through Scripture. May it be so. Amen.